Broadcasting from London, Ontario, Canada, to the rest of the world, this is Talking Combat with Chris Toplak.
Thanks for clicking the play button and tuning into another edition of Talking Combat with Chris Toplak. Since my announcement last week that I will be concluding Talking Combat with Chris Toplak here on MMASucker.com, I have received literally dozens of messages that left me both humbled and feeling appreciated. We're talking Twitter, Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn even, via text. A lot of people showed up. Emails even. As I previously noted, the timing simply feels right to step away for a little while. But that doesn't mean that I won't reappear somewhere else in the near future. That seemed to be the common question I was receiving. Well, is this it forever? Is this a permanent hiatus? And I can't really say that. The possibility is certainly there that I could return at some point. And I know many will be quite pleased to hear me say that. So have no fear. Perhaps at some point, I'll pop back up again. Talking Combat with Chris Toplak will definitely go away at least for a little bit. But that doesn't mean that it has to end forever. Getting ready for Christmas? Feeling anxious? I know I get into the anxious mode by about January, or by rather that, no. Heck no, not in January, but by about December the 1st. Because I'm looking at all the people I still need to purchase presents for. And then I'm looking at my calendar and thinking, how the heck do I get out there? There's only so much you can order online, right? Often it's easier just to get it in person. Last year I was proactive. I had most of my gifts done by the end of November. This year, whew, slipped my mind. Having to play catch up. Now my wife and I, we have this great agreement. Do not purchase anything for each other. We'll do something joint and we're done. Got a coffee table, an end table. Looks fantastic, courtesy of my aunt and uncle. Have a great store, secondbloomdesign.com. Work on a lot of reclaimed wood, and their items are one of a kind, very unique. So we have a lot of their furniture in our place. Christmas is done for us. It's all that we need. On the agenda today, a UFC Fight Night recap. Ronda Rousey reemerges. Fight announcements. John Jones breaks his silence. What an interview. Very revealing. I feel as though we saw the true side to John Jones that most of us never see. St. Pierre discusses UFC 167. I'll tell you why that's so relevant. And also ask the top where I answer your questions. Let's talk about UFC Fight Night. Did you catch it? If you watched it live early in the morning on Saturday, I caught, I'd say, the last quarter of it. Then I had to rewatch it on UFC Fight Pass. Overall, not a bad event. 12,000 were in attendance. They were digging the MMA action. Card was pretty exciting. I enjoyed it overall. Was it worth getting up early for? Maybe not, but nevertheless. Yes, injuries did force us to feel like a bit of a depleted card, but still delivered in a lot of ways. Especially from the very first fight. Dominic Steele. How often do you see a big slam followed by elbows to end the fight? He won a performance of the night bonus. Same with Duho Choi. Duho Choi defeated Sam Cecilia in about a minute and a half in the women's strawweight division. Delivers again. Ham versus Casey was fight of the night. That was the one I personally enjoyed the most as well. So overall, pretty good card, but let's talk about the top three fights. Fortunately, Yoshihiro Akiyama, or as I like to refer to him as, Sexyyama, may have lost a close decision, but at 40, he looked the best he has in years. But the fact remains, he's 1-5 in his past six fights. Given his age, the fact that he's simply not winning, one has to imagine this could be the end of the road. Another dominant performance from the underappreciated Dongyeong Kim. There's actually two Dongyeong Kims on the card. But one of them appeared in the very first fight and was knocked out by Dominic Steele. The other, again, a top 10 welterweight. Very underappreciated, overlooked. He deserves a big step up in competition following this victory. I'm thinking, how about the winner of Damian Maia versus Gunnar Nelson? That seems fitting to me. What do you think? Benson Henderson versus Jorge Masvidal headlined the card. Remember, Masvidal took this fight on very short notice. In fact, he only trained for 7 days for this fight. Thiago Alves got injured. He had a rib injury. So it was the final fight under Henderson's contract. He even left his gloves on the octagon floor. Now, this is generally seen as a sign of retirement, but perhaps it simply means his time with the UFC is officially up. Let the speculation begin. Here's the thing that's strange about Benson Henderson. I'm a big fan. I believe he's one of the more well-rounded fighters on the entire UFC roster. But more often than not, he just squeaks by. And he's better than that. And we know that, too. Now, mind you, I did mention this. Jorge Masvidal is a tough test. He's a great grappler. Pretty good stand-up game as well, too. So he made it close. It was a split decision victory for Henderson, something he's definitely accustomed to during his UFC tenure. But I thought it was a pretty good fight. Good action. I do believe the rightful person got their arm raised. But now I'm interested to see what will happen with Benson in the future. Will Bellator show up, drop off a giant bag full of money and say, come over here? Because that seems to be what most people are alluding to. Let me know what you think all over social media. We'll get to the weekly recap.
Miss something? We've got you covered. This is your weekly recap.
Just as I predicted, the UFC continues to capitalize on Holly Holm and her dominant victory over the seemingly unbeatable Ronda Rousey. Holly was all over the television yet again. Morning shows, SportsCenter, which is unbelievable given the fact that about a month ago, nobody really truly knew who she was unless you were a boxing fan. Unreal. Speaking of Ronda Rousey, and I hate digging into this, but at the same time, I've even been receiving questions. What's happening with Ronda? Well, it's worth noting the photos surfaced courtesy of the scum known as TMZ, always following around celebrities, snapping shots of them, while she was out hand-in-hand with Travis Brown walking her dog. And also some pictures surfaced with her and her family at Thanksgiving. She seems to be okay, still looks quite nervous, perhaps dealing with anxiety issues still, but finally accepting the fact that not only did she lose, but she looks fine. Some bruising, some swelling. It goes down pretty quickly. It was George St. Pierre that famously said, I look terrible immediately after the fight, win or lose, but days following that, I'm completely healed. I bruise like a grape. Vicious knockout, indeed. Still, it takes time to heal. Former Invicta FC champ, Michelle Waterson, suffered an undisclosed injury, has been forced out of her bout with Tisha Torres at UFC 194 quickly approaching. Have no fear, the UFC found a replacement on short notice. It is RFA strawweight champion Jocelyn Jones. She was signed and will be Wanderson's replacement. Looking forward to that one. This one, the battle of two barbarians. Yes, Josh Barnett versus Ben Rothwell. They should have swords and shields and fight to the death. Added to UFC on Fox 18 in New Jersey. Cannot wait for that heavyweight tussle. Also a report, there were rumors that I mentioned on a previous edition of the program. Anderson Silva will meet Vitor Belfort in a rematch, UFC 197. That has caught my attention. Especially given just all of the circumstances surrounding both fighters. We have Vitor facing the controversy of TRT, and now he's off of it, but he looked good in his previous fight. Anderson Silva testing positive. He's been away for a substantial amount of time. Could this finally happen, and who would you root for? Let me know. Gray Maynard mentioned on Twitter that he plans on dropping down to featherweight for his next fight, which I think is a horrible idea, and I'll tell you why. He has the power, he has the wrestling, he lost the ability to take a shot. Once that occurs, no matter if you move up in weight or you move down in weight, the same results are going to occur. I just don't see this being a good idea. It's delaying the inevitable, right? I mentioned it in the past. Gray Maynard should possibly consider coaching. Maybe that's an easier transition for him than dropping down in weight and thinking, I'm going to revitalize my career. It's not that easy. Look at all the examples. Clay Guida, Diego Sanchez. There's so many that you can list that drop down in weight and think, I'm a whole new man. Doesn't work that way. Let me know if you caught this. Watched it earlier in the week. Very compelling stuff. In a one-hour video posted on YouTube, MMAfighting.com's Ariel Helwani, he caught up with John Jones. And Jones basically broke his silence on the accident, his suspension, and also his return to the UFC. This is certainly a must-watch interview. Reveals a side to John Jones we may have never seen before. And the great thing about him is that, yes, he's a little bit arrogant, but he's also a little bit humble. You see him talking to kids. And of course, yes, some of it is court-ordered, so we can't give him the biggest pat on the back there, but it's something he's been doing for quite some time. And he does admit that basically his entire world collapsed on him. He admits to his mistakes, but he's hungry. He's anxious to get back to the octagon. Again, check it out on YouTube. John Jones, Ariel Helwani, just over an hour, worth every minute of it. Speaking of another interview to catch, I feel like I'm promoting all these other shows. Tune into mine. George St. Pierre appeared on Chael Sonnen's You're Welcome podcast. He explained the tension between himself and Dana White at UFC 167. This was something I never really heard too much about. So St. Pierre had the following to say. I'm going to tell you the truth. If this whole thing had not happened after the fight, maybe I would have already gone back, and maybe I would have given the rematch to Johnny Hendricks. That's huge. So basically what he's saying in a very nice way, if Dana White did not act like a jerk to me, I likely would have come back. I understand Dana was pissed, but I was leaving with the belt. I got it. But he could have done it with a bit of a better class, you know? And it makes sense because even at one point, UFC management was basically telling George St. Pierre, no, you're not invited to the post-fight conference. Sorry about your luck. St. Pierre said, no, I'm dressed. I'm showing up. And as he walks in, of course, Dana is running him down. So that would have been why. But still, Dana White, under fire by George St. Pierre and also John Jones in that hour video as well, too. Is this man truly good for the sport? In a lot of ways, yes. But do you need to be a businessman to deal with some of these fighters? You can't be. That's why many tend to look at Lorenzo Fertitta and say, I enjoy dealing with him more because he seems more genuine and he's more calm. He doesn't act out of emotion like Dana White does. He's very emotional. He'll act out and then a couple days later he's fine. You can't do that in this sport. These are people's lives on the line here. It's what they work towards. So it's really started to bother me over the years, and I'll be a little bit candid about it, that Dana White, you know, looks at these fighters and it's a business. George doesn't want to come back, even though he's made more money for me than any other fighter in the history of this promotion, but he's dead to me. Can't do that. Because then that fighter won't return. They won't want to return. Let me know your thoughts on that. Do you think Dana White needs to handle his business better and be less emotional? I think it's going to be an overwhelming yeah. Earlier in the week, there was an open call for male light heavyweights as well as female bantamweights and strawweights for the Ultimate Fighter 23. Tryouts will be taking place very soon.
You've got the questions. He's got the answers. It's Ask the Top.
I'd like to thank the late night band for playing my theme and showing up on the show here.
It's exactly what it feels like. Hosting a late show, a band's playing me on. I'm digging it. Maybe that's my next project. You have no idea. Ask the Top is where you submit your UFC-related questions or questions related to the program, and I answer them here in this segment. So you can submit them via Twitter, Google+, Facebook, ChrisToplock.com, wherever you like, and I will get to them and answer them here on this segment. Bearded Warrior via Twitter, very familiar name. I've listened to your podcast for 2 years and love it. Will you ever come back to the show? talked about this off the hop, mentioned it again. There's certainly a chance that I will pop up again in the future, but nothing is for sure. Nothing is set in stone. Lionel via Google Plus, a very strange question. Is Holly Holm legit? Well, she just thoroughly dominated one of the greatest MMA fighters of all time. How could she not be legit? Maddie Matt via Google Plus. Is there a chance Conor McGregor won't make weight now with the IV ban in place? I have no doubt that he will make weight. And the reason being is the UFC has promoted this event to death. If either man missed weight, it would be a colossal disaster. There's no way they will allow this to happen. So I have zero doubts that he will be on weight come weigh-ins. Danny Max via Google Plus. Why was Rousey suspended 6 months from fighting for split lip injury? It goes deeper than that. It has less to do with the split lip, more to do with the fact that she was viciously knocked out, and it requires a proper amount of time to heal. Whether somebody has a concussion or not, when that happens, they're advised to, at the bare minimum, typically it's about, 4 to 6 months? That's what she's looking at this point. So it could be sooner. Remember that it's suspended for 6 months, but it could be sooner if the doctor says, no, you're all clear. Keep that in mind, too. It's not set in stone. Paul via Google Plus, UFC 194 main event, who do you believe will hold the belt after it's over? Now, I don't want to reveal too much because I'll make predictions in a couple of weeks, right? I honestly flip-flop back and forth on this prediction. Jose Aldo's one of the best fighters of all time. He's been seemingly invincible, but Conor matches up well with him. I can't ignore that. As of right now, I'm leaning towards Conor McGregor. Now, keep in mind, this prediction could change as well, too. Appreciate all of your questions. Keep them coming. Perhaps I'll bring this segment back again before we wrap up the program. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's a very genuine statement. Really appreciate you taking time out of your life to tune in and show me some love. Happy trails to you. Until we meet again.
This concludes another edition of Talking Combat with Chris Toplak. Follow him on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or at ChrisToplak.com. And visit MMASucka.com for a new show every Sunday. Remember the